What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another brand new installment of Renegades Reviews, exclusively here as always on the Casa D18 Studios channel. I, of course, am your host, the Renegade JJ Williams, and today we're going to be taking a look at 2011's Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, starring Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, Thomas Horn, Max von Sydow, Viola Davis, and John Goodman. What's going on, everybody? Thank you for joining me here once again for another brand new installment of Renegades Reviews. Like I said during the introduction, today we're going to be talking about a 9/11 film called Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Now, I've kind of been both looking forward to and dreading covering this film as we've been marching through the rest of Tom Hanks's filmography this month. I was looking forward to it because it's Tom Hanks and it's Sandra Bullock. And as you know, on multiple occasions, I've mentioned how I feel like Sandra Bullock is like the female version of Tom Hanks. Girl next door, quirky, lovable. You know, everyone seems to enjoy her films. So seeing the two of them together is something I've wanted to see for a while. But it's the topic of 9/11, which is never positive, you know. It's hard to have a conversation about the events of 9/11 and have anything positive or positive memories come up because it was such a horrid day in our history. So, like I said, I've kind of been looking forward to and dreading this day as you've gone through the filmography. But enough about that. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the story, and then we'll discuss it more at the end, okay? Now, our movie opens with 9-year-old Oscar Schell, who lives in New York City with his parents, Thomas and Linda. Oscar is very close to his father, who stimulates him with missions to hunt for clues to New York City's lost 6th borough. The tasks that he is given force him to explore his surroundings and to communicate with other people, which is not easy for him to do. On September 11th, 2001, schools close early and Oscar arrives home to find 6 answering machine messages that were left by his father from the World Trade Center. Oscar hides under his bed where his grandmother finds him and stays with him until Linda, his mom, returns home from work. At his father's funeral, Oscar is visibly upset as he is unable to make any sense of his father's death. 1 year later, and Oscar has a secret hiding place with his memories of his father, including the answering machine and its messages. In his father's room, he accidentally shatters a vase, and inside of it is a key with an envelope with the word black on it. Oscar then becomes obsessed with finding the lock that this key fits, believing that it is a clue from his father. He discovers that there are 472 people with the name Black in the New York phone book, and he plans to visit each one. He begins to lie to his mother, with whom he is becoming increasingly distant from, about his outings. He first meets Abby Black, who is in the process of divorcing her husband, but she tells Oscar that she did not know his father. Further encounters with the other names are fruitless, but he meets a variety of people, photographing and recording notes on each one inside of a scrapbook. One day, Oscar ventures into his grandmother's apartment, but instead of finding her there, Oscar encounters the reclusive elderly renter that has been living there, whom his grandmother had warned him to avoid. The renter does not talk and instead communicates with the words yes and no tattooed on his hands, as well as a writing pad. Oscar begins to confide in him, and the man offers to accompany Oscar on his outings. As they begin to explore the city together, Oscar learns to face some of his fears, such as that of public transportation and bridges. Eventually, Oscar concludes that the stranger is his grandfather and plays the increasingly desperate answering machine messages for the man. But he becomes agitated, refuses to listen to the final one, and tells Oscar to stop his search. Later, Oscar sees him arguing with his grandmother and packing up to leave, and he angrily confronts him as his taxi pulls away. Oscar then notices a phone number for an estate sale, which is circled on the back of a newspaper clipping of his father's. He dials the number and reaches a surprised Abby Black, who takes Oscar to meet her ex-husband, William. William realizes that Oscar's key is the one that he has been looking for, which was left to him by his own deceased father in the vase, unbeknownst to him when he sold it to Thomas at the estate sale. Oscar confides in William that on the day of the attacks, he was home when the phone rang for the sixth time, but he was too afraid to answer. After witnessing the tower collapsing on the television as the phone call cut off, he replaced the answering machine so that his mother would never find out. Oscar leaves the key with William, but runs away from Abby, distraught. Back at home, in his room, Oscar proceeds to destroy the material from his search until his mother reveals to him that she had been aware of all of his outings and had actually gone ahead of him to meet all the people with the name of Black in order to prepare them for his visit. Finally, after realizing how much his mother cares about him, he finally accepts his father's death and writes letters to all the people he met in order to thank them for all of their kindness, including his grandfather, who returns to live with his grandmother. Oscar gives his mother his scrapbook from all of his adventures, filled with pop-ups and pull tabs, which is entitled Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. As our movie comes to its end, Oscar visits a spot in Central Park that he and his father frequented. And when he looks underneath his father's favorite swing, he finds a message from his father congratulating him for finishing what would be their final expedition, giving Oscar the closure that he so desperately needed. What an intense movie. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm enjoying the search. You know, I've told you guys a few times now when I discussed Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, I love these kind of treasure hunt movies. So this whole search that he's going on, trying to figure out what this key, this lost key goes to, that could possibly be something hidden from his father. I'm all wrapped up in that, man. And you kind of hurt for him, seeing him get disappointed with every person he visits, that nobody knows anything about the key. It doesn't unlock anything. you're really starting to get frustrated and feel for him, you know. And then the renter comes into play, and you see the bond start to form between the two of them, and you don't really catch it until he says that he's figured out that that's his grandfather. And you're like, holy crap, that this mute of a man that's taking a room from his grandmother is his grandfather. It explains so much why his grandmother wanted him to avoid him, you know? And it's just a mind-numbing revelation. And from the minute he begins to play the messages back for his grandfather, all the way through the end of the story, is gut-wrenching. Like, the first half of the movie is cool. You know, I mean, it's a tragedy what happened, obviously, but it's a great story the way it unfolds and starts developing. But from the minute he starts playing those messages for his grandfather, all the way until the end of the movie, by God, if you have even a half a soul, you need to make sure you have Kleenex or napkins or something near you. Because I was a blubbering mess for a good chunk of that second half. Especially when he revealed, you know, that he was there. When he's talking to William, Abby's ex-husband, that's when things really start getting serious. Because you find out that he was there. You find out why he didn't answer the phone. You find out that the phone cuts out in the message right as the tower crumbles and falls. And your heart is just broken for this kid. Not to mention the thousands of other people who lost loved ones during that moment, obviously. But this story focuses on this one family, this one kid. The fact that he could have answered that phone and heard his father's voice for one last time, so gut-wrenching. And then to find out that his mom, who was never good at the games that he would play with his dad, was able to get into the room and think like her son to figure out his system and everything, and went ahead to all those people and told them, you know, look, I lost my husband in 9/11. My son lost his father. He found this key. He thinks it might belong to you or someone that you know. If you can just give him a few moments of your time, I know it would go a long way to help what he's going through right now. And for the citizens of New York, which are usually thought of to be pretty careless, you know, ruffians, selfish, self-centered, you know, the residents of New York really have this media image of not caring about anyone but themselves. Kind of the same image that the citizens of Los Angeles have. So for them to all come together, all these people with the same last name, to come together to try to help this little boy cope with his grief. So good. So good. When it comes to my rating of this film, I got to give it 5 out of 5. This is the first time I've watched it, and usually when it's the first time I've watched something, I don't give it a 5-star rating. But this was just so well done. So well told. You know, the cast and everybody was so great. And the story was so touching, so heartwarming, so endearing. You know, you figure this film came out on Christmas Day, 2011. So just a little over 10 years after the tragedies of that day. As the young boy calls it, the worst day. I watched this film November 2021, just a little over 20 years after the tragedies of that day. And man, I don't know if this is a film that I can watch on a regular basis because it is just so gut-wrenching. But that being said, it's definitely worthy of a 5-star rating. Anything else would not be fair to it. What do you guys think? I'm curious. Those of you out there that have seen Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, what do you think of this film? Let me know. Please, please let me know. If you're watching the premiere, leave your thoughts and comments over here. If you're watching on demand later in the day, leave your thoughts and comments down here. Whatever you do, though, when you get out there on social media, let's try to get those hashtags trending. Hashtag Casa D18 Studios, hashtag Renegades Reviews, hashtag Renegade Returns, and of course, the ever popular hashtag Shenanigans.
Merchandising.
Merchandising? What's that?
Merchandising. Come, I'll show you. Merchandising, merchandising, where the real money's made.
Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow, right back here on the Casa D18 Studios channel for another brand new installment of Renegades Reviews when we come together to discuss 2012's Cloud Atlas, starring Tom Hanks, Jim Sturgis, Halle Berry, Ben Whishaw, Jim Broadbent, Duna Bay, Hugh Grant, Hugo Weaving, Susan Sarandon, and Keith David. You're not going to want to miss out on that one tomorrow, right back here on the Casa D18 Studios channel, right back here on an all-new Renegades Reviews, when we discuss this film that transpires over decades and centuries, Cloud Atlas. To all my loyal fans and viewers out there that tuned in for the premiere today, leaving your thoughts and comments over here, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. Likewise, all my loyal fans and viewers out there tuning in a little bit later in the day, watching on demand, leaving your thoughts and comments down here, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate all my loyal fans and viewers out there that tune in on a regular basis, show me that love, show me that support, digging back in the archives, unearthing those old episodes, reliving them, rewatching them, in an effort to help boost up my viewership hours so I can eventually get monetized, make some money on this endeavor. Thank you very much to all of you who joined me and tuned in today, and I will see you guys next time.